Okay, so one of our values here at West Hill Community Church is about growing. And I want to share with you one of the most amazing stories about growth in my life. When me and Becky first started to date, and she first started to, you know, have eyes for me in a serious way, we decided to take our relationship to the next level. Bear in mind, this is before marriage and children. So if you're thinking before that, the next gradual step is to go to Dobie's and to get a cactus. So that's what we did. Something that we could grow together and share together. So we went to Dobie's. Probably got a Dobie's breakfast. Who loves a Dobie's breakfast? Honestly, good times. And we went there and we ended up buying a cactus. And we were driving back home with this cactus and we decided to name him Charlie. Because that seemed a good name for the cactus, Charlie the Cactus. And we were going to care for, I say we, like I was definitely going to care for this because it was obviously in my house. And I was going to care for this cactus. I was going to love this cactus. I was going to make sure it was the most cared for, loved cactus that at least my home had ever seen. So I did. I watered it. I made sure that it was okay. But like many things in life, the novelty wears off. You begin to forget about this cactus. You forget about Charlie. And he's sitting there all alone on the windowsill. Windowsill. I get told off by Becky for saying that. I say it wrong every time. It's not a windowsill. I'm so confused. Becky always like, it's not, you're saying it wrong. I'm like, I'm not. Anyway, I said it wrong there. She's not even watching. She can't watch. Anyway, hello, maybe later. So anyhow, we had it up there and it was great. I didn't think of him though for a long time. I neglected him. And eventually I looked back and I saw Charlie there and he was looking sad. He was looking quite sad. And I'd forgot about him. Thankfully, I was still living at home. And there was one person in my home who takes care of everything to the highest degree. And she adopted Charlie, I would say. And my mother adopted Charlie the cactus, and she cared for him. She brought him back to life. She went out and bought special cactus food. That is my mum. If you know my mum, that is her. And she brought him back to life. She cared for that cactus. She loved it. Anyone here have a cactus? Yep. Take care of your cacti. For a plant or a cactus to grow well and be healthy, it needs to be cared for. It needs to be in the right environment, it needs to be given attention and your time. And as I figured out, you can't just leave it and expect it to grow and to be healthy. And likewise, as Christians, our whole journey of faith is one of growth. It's one of growing to become more like Jesus, the one that we follow. As a Christian, when you come to Jesus, when you receive his forgiveness, you are forgiven totally in an instant. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to try and become better to receive his forgiveness. It happens instantly. And that is called a theological term, justification. It's just as if you had never sinned straight away when you receive Jesus. You don't have to doubt that. You don't have to think every morning when you wake up, oh, am I forgiven? Am I forgiven? If you ask for forgiveness, you are forgiven. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And in Romans 5:1 it says, therefore we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So justification happens instantly. We are completely forgiven and we are justified before God in an instant. However, what we're talking about today in growing to become like Jesus is called, a theological term for that is sanctification. And this is something that happens throughout our whole life. In Hebrews 10, verse 14, it says, for by a single offering, he, Jesus, has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. We are being sanctified. It's not something that we're not immediately completely like Jesus. Sanctification is becoming more like Jesus, and that is something that is a process. And if you are like me, you will know that whether you've been a Christian for one day, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, or more, you know that you're not 100% like Jesus yet, probably. I'm going to guess you're not 100% like Jesus yet, because it's a process of becoming more like him. We still make mistakes, even though we are totally forgiven and totally justified before God. Sometimes we look at our lives and we think, actually, we aren't as much like Jesus as we should be or want to be. But as we follow Jesus, our hope and our desire should be that we become more like him. That we are being made more like Jesus as we follow him, as we're becoming more holy and being more like him. When you become a Christian, it is like this new birth that takes place. You are born again. However, that's not the end of the journey. It's really only the very start, it's the beginning. You see, when, for those that you've had a child and you've gone into the hospital, the maternity ward, and you give birth, you will know, and I know from experience, that that is not the end. Because you get home, and you might think, oh, great. Oh, that's it. We've done it. Becky, we've done it. We've had a baby. And then you realize, oh, goodness gracious. They didn't tell you. They didn't tell you what happens next. Everything happens all at once, and it's fun, but it's good, it's good. The point is, that is really the beginning of your journey. That's the beginning of this process. This is the beginning of raising your child and seeing them grow and seeing them make mistakes, but seeing them grow into their full potential. We are not designed or meant to stay babies forever, physically or spiritually. We are to grow. We are to mature in our faith and in our relationship with Jesus, to become established and rooted and growing in him and into his likeness. The very first car that I had was called the Viking. Amen. Some of you might know the Viking. Does anyone remember the Viking? Grant Rory? Some of you. Well, the Viking was, he was called the Viking because the last three letters on the license plate was VKG. It was my dad's car. I inherited the car, took over the car, and subsequently killed the car. But it was famous. It was famous around West Hill. All the kids would know that Daniel Ferguson was coming along in the Viking. Sounds bizarre, but oh, there's the Viking. Oh, love the Viking, Dan. How's the Viking? Here he comes in the Viking. Sounds cool. I'm making it sound a lot cooler than it probably was. But and anyway, this car was famous, and we loved it, and it did us really well. But then things started to kind of go wrong with the Viking. You know, there was an issue with the brake pads, and it was an Astra. I don't know if anyone has an Astra. Anyone got an Astra? Yeah, don't go for them. We had a bad experience with it anyway. The brake pads started to go, and there was an engine issue, and there was an oil thing going on, and time and time again, I remember there was a bad noise coming from it once, and we tried to get down to Ayr to meet my mate Michael Maver, and we were going to go to the golf, and there was all this thing, and then halfway down the road, I'm thinking, that doesn't sound good. And Becky's in the car and she's sleeping and I'm like, I'm going to have to pull over. Anyway, my dad rescued us and gave me his car and he took the... Anyway, the car started to go severely wrong. And it became clear that actually when the engine wouldn't work, when we put it into the garage and they said there's oil everywhere, that this was going to either cost us a lot of money or we were going to have to make a change and we were going to have to do something. So thankfully, we know someone called Len Coutts who is married to Annie Coutts. And he has been a miracle worker for us in terms of seeing one car go one way and getting another car. Anyway, we had to make the change. It wasn't one that we wanted to do. The Viking was famous. I couldn't, you know, I wanted to unscrew the license plate and then the new car had become the Viking. But the Viking was gone and the Viking had to be replaced. It had to be fixed. And actually, we thought it was a goner. I mean, it was certainly a goner for us because we couldn't afford it to fix it. It was much cheaper to get a new car, but Becky, being Becky and being very aware of everything, She figured out and found out that actually the Viking is roaming the streets today. Someone got it on one of the auctions, you know, like the car auctions, because I think the garage was just like, this is a no hope. Someone got it and birthed it back to life. The Viking is roaming the streets once more. But change was needed. And when something isn't working, when something isn't the way it should be, it's foolish to let that just continue. Change has to take place. Something has to happen. And there's areas in our lives that we can't just let going on the way they are. You know, you could start with a little thing, but then it just can spiral out of control. You can see it with a car, you know, you hear a little noise, you think, I'll be fine. And then a month down the line, should have probably done something when I heard that little noise that I just neglected. There might be parts of our lives today that we can recognize that need to change. You will probably already know what they are. They'll probably be coming into your mind. It might be anything. And God might just bring that to your attention because he loves you. Not because he wants to hurt you, because he wants to love you back into the best place that you can be. There might be an area of your life that needs changed, an area that isn't reflecting God's best for you. And he would, I believe, desire to change that with you, to help you grow, to help you change the things that need to be changed. In our passage today in Ephesians, it really does talk about maturity in faith and growth in faith and how it is so needed. In verse 14, it talks of how we are no longer to remain infants who are blown all over the place. Instead, God wants us to become like Jesus Christ in every way, to become more like Christ. And to do that, there will be areas of our life that need to change or to grow or to stop or to be worked on. The passage says not to live as the Gentiles do, which is darkened in understanding, separated from the life of God, hearts that are hardened, losing all sensitivity, giving ourselves over to sensuality and every kind of impurity and full of greed. That is the old life that we're to shed, to put off. Even says that our own desires, our own thinking patterns, our own thoughts are corrupted at times. We might think something is best for us, but actually, God might have something that's even better. And he says, come to me because I want to work with you. Instead, we are to put on this new self and we are to grow into the likeness of Jesus. So it's clear that growth needs to take place in all our lives if we are to become more like Jesus. And I want to suggest three areas of our lives that growth takes place and that we should go away and think of today. First of all, growth has to happen on a personal level. Growth has to take place on a personal level. There's a lot of us that will look at other people and we will point the finger, you know, and we'll say, oh, maybe not physically, but we'll point it in our mind or our heart and think, that's an area of that person's life. Oh, that attitude, that is not very Christ-like. You know, or, hear what they were saying. But actually, instead of looking out to other people and making judgments about how they're falling short, we should be pointing the finger at ourselves first. We should be thinking, actually, there's stuff in my life that I need to change. Growth happens on a personal level. And if we want to become more like Jesus, how do you do that? How do you become more like someone? Well, I have figured out along the way that the more time you spend with someone, the more you become like them. There'll be times when you spend time with someone and then you start speaking like them. You'll start talking like them. Honestly, I see this time and time again over the years, just the way that you act and your movements and your body. And there'll be times I'm sitting at home and I don't even realize it. There's times when I've been with my dad and he'll have his arms like that or something. And I look over and I'm doing the exact same thing. I mean, it's probably like, there's just me being like him. But there's times I'm like, I don't even realize I'm doing it. But you become often like the ones that you are with. And I'll do that. We'll do that with Becky as well. We'll say something. I was thinking of that. Or you say the exact same thing at the same time. Because you're becoming like the ones that you are with. And we need to do that with God. We need to make sure that we spend time with God intentionally. To give him your time, to give him your attention. Because that is one of the most precious things that any of us can do, is to give our time to anyone. And to give our time to God is probably, or it is, the most important thing we can do. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, talks about time. And he says this, time is your most precious gift because you only have a set amount of it. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. When you give someone your time, you're giving them a portion of your life that you'll never get back. Your time is your life. That is why the greatest gift you can give someone is your time. It is not enough to just say relationships are important. We must prove it by investing time in them. Words alone are useless. My children, our love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action. Relationships take time and effort, and the best way to spell love is T-I-M-E, time. You see, it's so easy, whether you are just busy with work, or you're busy with ministry, or you're busy with serving, or you're busy with volunteering, or you're busy with school, or you're busy with uni, or you're busy and you're just busy for being busy. It's easy just to fill your time and to realize, actually, I haven't really consciously given any time to God this week. It's something that I know I'm guilty of. You just, the motions happen, and unless you are intentional about it and you say, actually, I need to give my time to things that matter to me. Just like our children, right? It's just like our relationships, our friendships, our family life. You know, if we don't give time into those relationships that matter, then they won't grow and they won't be what they should be. And that's like our relationship with God. We need to give him our time. We need to spend time reading his word, consuming it, meditating on it, becoming familiar with it, remembering it. You know, if we want to see growth to become like Jesus, I would encourage us that we need to create time to spend with him, to read his word, to spend time in prayer, to set aside time to give to God. Give him your attention, as well as continually talking to him during the day and bringing him into your life. And just as you go, I would encourage us to also set time aside to give him your attention. We need to stay close to him. We need to stay connected with him. In John chapter 15, it talks about Jesus being the vine and we are the branches. And there's no fruit that can come from the branches unless it's connected with the vine. And that's what we need to be. We need to be plugged in to God. We need to be connected. And as a result, growth takes place. Fruit starts to develop. But it only comes when we're connected to the source, which is Jesus. So my question for us this morning is, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do this? Not the person next to you, not your wife, not your husband, not your child, not your uncle. How are you going to do it? How are you going to take this responsibility and be practical and be intentional and set that side of time? Set that time aside. Make it happen. So first of all, growth has to happen on a personal level. Secondly, I believe that growth comes in community. We need each other. That is what church should be about. We need one another. That's why we meet. That's why we have church. We do it so that we grow together and we journey through life together. None of us are ever meant to do this thing called life or being a Christian alone. We need community. We need our brothers and sisters, and we need each other. Charles Spurgeon said, "Some Christians try to go to heaven alone, in solitude. But believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in this respect. They love to get together. Sheep go in flocks, and so do God's people." We're not meant to do it alone. And another quote from Rachel Held Evans said, "Christianity isn't meant to simply be believed. It's meant to be lived, shared, eaten, spoken, and enacted in the presence of other people." Try as I may, she says, I can't be a Christian on my own. I need a community. I need the church. It's so easy for us to sometimes think we can go it alone. We can do it by ourselves. But actually, there's something that is not right about that. Because you need other people. You need other people to lift you up when you're falling down. You need other people to come alongside you. You need other people to say, listen, pal, I know you're going through a hard time. It's going to get better. You need people that you love and that you trust that are going to come alongside you and say, listen, how are you doing really? And then you can be honest, you can be vulnerable, and you can grow together. We're meant to meet together. We're meant to grow as community. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says, do not neglect or give up meeting together and encouraging each other. We should be meeting. We should be gathering. We should be supporting one another. And in Acts 2, verse 42, of course, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You can learn and grow so much through fellowship with others. And I'm sure that there's people in your lives that you can identify that when you spend time with them, that you end up thinking, wow, I feel closer to Jesus. I feel like that person is reflecting something of God that, you know, I just wouldn't have seen by myself. When I spend time with them, I feel like I'm becoming more like Jesus. Growth comes as you learn from others. Growth comes often through teaching from others, whether it's someone on the stage or whether it's someone in a small group or someone at coffee time when we can do that again. Growth comes from learning from one another. So first of all, growth comes on a personal level. Second of all, growth comes through community. And third of all, I believe that growth comes through the challenges and the trials that we face in life. In Romans 5, verse 3 to 5, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. In James 1, verses 2 to 4, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 9, it says, in all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Life is full of challenges and trials. These times can often be not They can be uncomfortable, they can be painful, they can be really tough, but they can totally, and through personal experience, through those times of trial, your faith and your character and your relationship with God grows. And you can probably recall times in your life when it's been horrible, when there's been challenges, when there's been struggles, but actually, there've been times when they can be times of great growth and reliance upon God. This is not to say, however, that God sends us all the trials of life and all the horrible things. Some of those are just a result of the broken world that we live in. We live in a messed up world, and trials do come and hard times come as a result of that. Often it's due to people's decisions. There's trials and tough times because someone has made a bad decision and it's affected you. But the point is, whether you're going through something that is from God or it's not from God, the point is that God can use all things to develop you and to grow you for your good and for his kingdom. Nothing is wasted. Often I feel like when you're going through those tough times, you just feel, what is the point? What is the point? And you can feel like, oh, why is this the way it is? But God says nothing is wasted. It is true that things usually grow in valleys rather than often a mountaintop. It's through the valley moments, the moments where it is tough, the moments where there is hardship, the moments where life is not easy, that the greatest growth can often come. And I'm sure that some of you will know that. And I've felt that. I felt that through last stage of our life and my life. There's been times when I've just thought, like, why? Like, why am I going through this? And often it will take someone else to say to me, Daniel, I know it's not been great. I know that you've not felt good. I know it's not been easy. But nothing is wasted with God. And He will use this. And He will grow you. And in ways, actually, that you might not even see in the moment, but later on you might reflect and think, wow, it was during that time that God grew me, that God pruned me, that God led me into a better place. And during these tough times, during the trials that we face, we always have a choice. Choice number one is, do we run to God? Do we come to Him even when it's horrible, even when it's tough? Do we run to Him or do we run away from Him? And that is ultimately where it comes down to when trials and tough times come. You run to Him or you run from Him. And I would encourage us to run to Him because He wants to hold you through those moments. He wants to lead you through those times. So, in conclusion, Jesus' desire for us is to grow. To grow into His likeness, to become more like Him. Growth comes individually, in community, and through the challenges and trials of life that we face. So I want to encourage us all today, wherever you are on the journey, to be intentional, to make space, to make time, to give Him your attention, to do what you can to set yourself in the best conditions and environments for growth. To stay connected with others in community, don't do it alone. And to always run to God and stay close to Him, remain in Him through every stage of life. Let us pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we want to become more like You. Lord, we want to grow to become more like You. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to do that. Even when it's not easy, even when it doesn't feel particularly nice, help us to remain in Your arms and close to You, God. Help us to always run to You and not from You. Lord, when there's parts of our lives that we know that need to change, help us to yield to You. And to say yes to You, even if it might be painful, You might prune us, You might think there's an area of Your character that isn't quite right. Help us to acknowledge it and to accept the pruning that comes from You, Lord. Lord, we want to become more like You. We want to reflect You more into this world. Help us to do that. And Holy Spirit, I pray that for anyone listening today that just knows there's areas of their life that they need to change and they need to just give to You, I pray, Lord, that we would do that, that we wouldn't just let it continue on, but we would actually say, okay, change is needed. And we thank You, Lord, that this is all done, change and growth, it all comes in an atmosphere and an environment of love, that, Lord Jesus, You love us. You want the very best for us. You always want the best for us. Help us, Holy Spirit, to receive Your love afresh this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord.